Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the radio program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. American Family Radio, thank you for listening to AFR and this program in particular. We really appreciate you joining us, and we hope you'll stay with AFR throughout the day. I'm Tim Wildman, as the announcer told you. Walker Wildman is with me. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good Tuesday morning.
Good Tuesday morning. And what are we going to be doing today on our Today's Issues Facebook page?
Well, you can go and watch the show there. We are live streaming on Today's Issues Facebook page. You can watch it and listen there or comment below the video and let us know your thoughts on the show and the news.
And we have comments there.
Yeah, a lot of people, a lot of listeners go on there and comment about the show.
One guy commented the other day that I talk too much.
Well, I wasn't going to bring that up, but since you did.
Well, I didn't comment back. I don't have a Facebook account, so you keep up with that.
But yeah.
Of course, I would.
Should I let you know from now on?
I didn't want to get into an argument. I didn't want to get into an argument with the fella. But I mean, it is a talk show, and I am the host.
That's right.
So it's your show.
Yeah, Ray Pritchard on with us from Dallas.
Hey, Ray, Tim, how you doing?
You're talking too much, Ray. Oh,
I know, and I just barely got started. Tim, I never think you talk too much. Say anything you want to say. It's fine with me.
Well, I didn't know how. I just don't know what a moment of silence sounds like for talk radio.
It's no good. It's no good.
Fred Jackson, news director for American Family News and OneNewsNow.com.
Always
good
to be
with you. That's
good,
Fred. Thank you for being on with us. we appreciate your contribution.
Hey, listen, Walker, we needed a Tim meter.
A Tim meter. You've expired your time limit for today, Mr. Host.
Maybe I need my word limit. Y'all can put a word limit on me.
140 characters or less?
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
Way, fella said, yeah, but Tim talks too much.
He's the host. He's supposed to talk a lot, right?
I didn't know how to take that exactly. Well.
Don't take it personal.
Okay, I did. I don't take anything personal after 30 years of this business. I'm hard to hurt. You're listening to Today's Issues. Ray, where you been traveling around?
Well, the last week or so, yep. Away on a vacation.
Okay.
You know, usually I'm out preaching somewhere, but Marlene and I took about 8 days and just got off by ourselves and did a Caribbean cruise from Fort Lauderdale down to Aruba, Curacao, and Bonaire.
That's way down there. You're talking about you're near South America, right?
17 miles from Venezuela. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the weather report down there is the same pretty much every day of the year.
I know.
It's about 80 degrees and sunny skies and slight chance of rain. That's just pretty much for the whole year down there.
Because you're not too far from the equator there, are you?
No. And so it really does. You know, they don't have seasons really like we have. They have some rain more during certain times of the year. But, it was beautiful. Sunny skies.
Bonaire is just incredible. I had the opportunity to get down there with Trans World Radio. Back a few years ago, that's where they base their transmitter for their programs that beam into South America and then west into those countries, including Cuba. And that was kind of the main reason we went down there. But Bonaire is known as one of the best scuba diving areas in the world.
Yes.
The waters. And I've seen this on TV before, but we got a chance to do that when we were there. And we just did some snorkeling. And to see the beautiful colors of the fish and the waters there was just absolutely incredible. What a great spot.
Bonaire, is that a French territory?
No, well, like a lot of those other little islands down there, they're connected to the Netherlands.
It's Dutch, right? Used to be called the Netherlands Antilles, right?
Yeah. Hmm. And so that's why you see like KLM 747s flying
in there
all the time. Yeah.
I got to ask you just about that cruise there, because I've been on one cruise and it was a 5-day cruise to forget.
Right,
a storm came up. We had a small old boat. It was out of Mobile. We went to Cozumel and one other stop. But anyway, it was not a good experience at all. So we haven't been back on a boat since that was 8-10 years ago. So you would say You get on a big boat. You enjoyed this?
Yeah, there were, I think, about 3,000 passengers, another 1,500 staff, but you didn't feel crowded. And it was just Marlene and me. And so completely relaxing.
Okay.
You know, you really can't even be on the internet. So you got to put your phone, unless you want to pay a lot of money. So you got to put your phone away and just unwind. And, you know, we had done this about 5 years ago and did it and hadn't done it since then. And let me tell you, of all the vacations I've taken, nothing more relaxing to me than a Caribbean cruise. So, yeah, highly recommended.
Now, did you have a balcony?
Yes, we did. And sat out there and read books and watched the sea float by. Yeah, it was
now
nice.
Now you're talking. Mm. Yeah, I couldn't handle it without a balcony. I'd get claustrophobic or something.
I'm you don't want an inside cabin. Get yourself an outside cabin with a balcony. It's the way to go.
Gotcha. Mm. Good deal. Fort Lauderdale to Bonaire. Where else?
And Curacao and Aruba. Yeah, Aruba. Really a nice trip.
Cool. Mm. Have to keep that in mind. You're listening to Today's Issues, your travel review network here on American Family Radio.
And if you want to see where Ray went, Bonaire, you go to a website called Breathe Bonaire. Breathe Bonaire, and there are live web cameras.
Really?
So if you're experiencing a snowstorm and you need
a little
relief.
You want a little Caribbean dreaming?
Go there. And like Ray says, 78 degrees, 79 degrees. It's
with
nice.
A little breeze off the
ocean. Oh, yeah.
Oh, now you're talking. All right. Well, meanwhile, back in the real world, Fred, what's going on in the news?
Well, this will shock you, but we're going to start off the day's news with something about President Trump. I mean, we haven't done that for a while.
I don't know when that guy's going to get moving.
I mean, come on. Pick up the pace here.
Hasn't done a thing. This morning, he was at the new African-American Museum in Washington, D.C., and they had kind of a live shot from there. We thought he was going to make the big announcement about changes in the Department of Homeland Security, how to deal with illegal immigrants, et cetera, did not come there, but we are still expecting that sometime this morning. And basically what we are told, the announcement involves hiring thousands of more border agents and also stepping up the pace of deporting those who have committed other criminal acts while here in the United States. So those two things happening. Also, apparently part of the program, according to Fox News, is an expanded relationship with local law enforcement. And what basically that means, it would be deputizing local police officers under the National Act that allows DHS to deputize state and local law enforcement officers so they can function as federal immigration agents. However, opposed to the story we heard last week where the National Guard was going to be used, apparently that is not part of the program. In fact, President Trump dismissed that as part of fake news last week. Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson actually reacted to that. He had concerns about using the National Guard resources for immigration enforcement, believing such a program would be too much of a strain on our National Guard. So we are expecting that. And on top of that, we could, as early as today, get the new executive order dealing with refugees. And, you know, that's been through the courts. This new one, as I think we reported yesterday, would exempt people who already have green cards, who may be coming from those seven countries that have been named, and or people who have visas prior to the implementation of the order. So all of that may be happening even before we finish up our show here today.
That would be breaking news, and we can bring it to them live.
Absolutely. So we're watching for that as the moments go by. So, you know, we kind of joked about President Trump. He doesn't have a quiet day. You know, there was stuff yesterday in the mainstream media was criticizing him for going down to Florida on the weekends. But President Trump works when he goes down there. It's not just a matter of going golfing, although that's all you see in the videos pretty well. He actually does a lot of work when he is in Florida.
Yeah, he announced his new national security advisor from Mar-a-Lago yesterday.
Exactly. And, you know, that's, again, he interviewed people all weekend. That's what he was doing on his weekend.
H.R. McMaster
is
his name. Mm-hmm. Very decorated.
For his national security advisor?
General. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yeah, he is. He is an active general still, which is really quite interesting. But also, Ambassador Bolton, John Bolton, who used to be ambassador, United States ambassador to the UN, He was on the short list, apparently, but during the announcement yesterday, it was indicated that Ambassador Bolton may be involved in some way in helping out General McMaster. One of the criticisms that came out yesterday from some people is that General McMaster doesn't have a lot of experience interacting with politicians and in the politics of the Pentagon.
Yeah.
But perhaps that is why Ambassador Bolton may be involved with that program as well as retired General Kelly, who was also on the short list for this. He is also going to be involved as an assistant. So it's almost like it's going to be a team of three.
You're talking about Kellogg?
Kellogg, pardon
me. Yeah, Kellogg.
Yes.
Yeah, that's going to be a good team there.
It is. Lots of experience.
Well, you know, a lot of people are saying that, in a way, Trump now has picked a man who is so highly this is kind of like a Supreme Court pick, that this general he picked is so highly regarded that there is no criticism of him whatsoever. He apparently is highly regarded across the political spectrum. So in a way, this whole thing, this whole mess with Mike Flynn, in a way, which still has not been totally disentangled, is what really happened. It has worked out well, I would say, for the administration, because they've got a man who is universally praised now for that position.
Yeah, exactly.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Walker will be posting all the articles we talk about, the news stories we talk about here. He'll be posting them on our Today's Issues Facebook page, so check that out. Certainly, we encourage you to go to onenewsnow.com as well. Fred and his team put together news every day, Monday through Friday, and they send out a news brief once a day. So if you want the news packaged in one email to you where you can keep up with what's going on, both world news and news here at home, and we don't forget the Christian news either.
That's right.
They can get that, can't they, Fred?
Absolutely. We have, as you mentioned, a team of reporters that each day our job is to try to get the Christian perspective on the major news stories.
Right.
And so that's what our reporters will be doing. As you mentioned, Tim, we send out a daily email once a day. You can sign up for that. Go to the site. It says subscribe over there on the right-hand side of the page. Just click on that. Give us your email. And we will only send you one email every day. We won't be sending it every hour, every headline that comes up. We won't be bothering and pestering.
Some of those news services do. I get one an hour.
Drives me crazy.
Me too. Who drives you crazy? And you're a news junkie.
Well,
like me.
And here's the thing. Here's the other thing that we'll do. We'll only put breaking news up when it's breaking news. It bothers me. And Fox News is bad with this too. Like every story, every moment is breaking news.
No, Sean Hannity goes to the vending machine, it's breaking news on Fox. I mean, it's incredible.
It's constant.
Constant.
We don't do that.
We've got breaking news from Charlotte, North Carolina area. Dr. Frank Turek is on with us. Good morning, Frank.
Gentlemen, I got some breaking news for you.
Okay, you break it.
There's no breaking news right now.
Oh, man. I'm seared to that Fox News alert. Bing! Or whatever they do at the top, because it's every top of the hour, and it's nothing.
That's right. You better keep people watching. How else are you going to do it? Breaking news. There's absolutely nothing to report.
and sometimes it's breaking news from yesterday.
That's right.
We have breaking news for us. I said, wait a minute. You said that yesterday at this hour.
Give us some more breaking news. Oh, my word.
We're out of breaking news.
I got some breaking news for you. There's a piece on CNN. I know that's hard to believe, but here's the title of it. Trump's brilliant choice of McMaster.
Hold your breath.
Yeah, I know. I'm reading this thing right now because apparently the reporter, a guy by the name of Peter Bergen, has met this McMaster gentleman who, by the way, not only led American forces in the Gulf War, the Iraq War, he also has a PhD in history.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote a book back 20 years ago called Dereliction of Duty, Lyndon Johnson, Robert McNamara, and the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the Lies That Led to Vietnam. Quite a long title, but apparently it's quite a good book, according to this reporter here, and he can't sing this guy's praises enough. In fact, he said Here's what he says in the article. In the Gulf War, then Captain McMaster led a U.S. tank troop in the Battle of 73 Easting on February 26, 1991. McMaster's armored forces, acting as scouts, suddenly encountered a large force of the Iraqi army. In a 2014 interview with National Geographic Television, McMaster recalled, "I can see the enemy with the naked eye. I mean, they were at very close range. In a battle that lasted only 23 minutes, McMaster's force destroyed an astonishing 28 Iraqi tanks, 16 personnel carriers, and more than 30 trucks. This battle is often studied by young U.S. military officers as the exemplary case study of high-intensity conventional combat."
Wow.
This is a CNN story you're reading?
This is a CNN piece. I happened to stumble over it, and it says, "Trump's brilliant choice of McMaster." The reporter is Peter Bergen, who is the CNN national security analyst. And apparently he's well-respected all over the place, this new national security advisor.
Maybe they're trying to get back in good with the president, you think?
If the president watches him, and the president, you know, he's hey. Watching Fox and Friends and Tucker Carlson, apparently, with all those terrorist attacks in Sweden. And
talking to Dr. Frank Turek here. Ray, I wanted to ask you, Ray, about what do you think? I don't know. I know you've been on vacation, but what do you think about how? And then get Frank's take on this about how President Trump is handling the media. I mean,
he has turned everything on its head, right?
Yeah.
Everything we thought we knew about what a president should do, whether it be Reagan or Bush or Clinton or Obama, push all that out the window. Trump is not, you know. Trump is not taking anything off anybody, and he's taking the fight, really for the first time in our lifetime, he is taking the fight right to the media, and he's calling them out. And I think the vast majority of American people are listening to what the president is saying, and they're going, yeah, you're right. It's about time somebody stood up to the media and called them out.
And the polls are all backing that, too. They are. Go ahead, Frank.
I was just going to say, I agree that someone has to take on the media, and Trump does it very well. But let me just admit, he is not the master of nuance.
What's nuance, Frank?
Well, that's right. Well, I mean, like the other night when he did talk about Sweden, he goes, "Just last night in Sweden,"
right.
And everyone's looking for a terrorist attack. What he meant was he saw a story about Sweden last night, not that there was a terrorist attack last night. And people took it as a terrorist attack when, in fact, he meant – "Just last night, I saw that Sweden is having immigration problems," not that there was a terrorist attack necessarily. And so he's not the master of nuance. And, you know, he's the kind of guy – and I'm a big, big proponent of calling out the media on how liberal and biased they are. But he's the kind of guy that tends to kill a mosquito with a sledgehammer.
Right. Calling him the enemy of the people or something
right.
like that on Twitter.
I tell you, I've seen a lot of these press conferences with presidents. I've never seen anything like what he did last week with that 70-minute freewheeling.
Oh, yeah.
And I will say this for President Trump. He took on all comers. Now, I don't know, after about three or four of those questions, I don't know why in the world you're in that room and you want to raise your hand. Because you get your pants pulled down,
they're getting high ratings now. His news conferences are getting very high ratings.
But Sean Spicer, the mini me,
yeah,
that comes out for the press conferences every day. His daily press briefing is out doing soap operas.
Oh, well, you know what it kind of reminds me of? You remember right after 9/11 when Rumsfeld did those briefings all the time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Rumsfeld. He would just call things straight as they are, you know. And if someone asked a stupid question, he'd tell them, "That's a stupid question."
Right.
It was funny. One of the reporters asking a question there in that news conference.
Asked President Trump?
Yeah. It was a guy. He pointed him out. "Okay, you. Where are you from?" "BBC." "BBC." And he said, "Oh, no, here's another one."
Another beauty. Right. That's right. That's a typical New York line. It's another beauty. That's right.
Oh, I've never seen anything like it. Yeah. I would say, you
it's
know,
a good it's, show.
It's
really
good show.
Show.
It's a show. It's entertaining. Say this. I do agree with you that President Trump, you know, he takes no prisoners. And like you said, even if you're barely asking a antagonistic question, he will slam you back. But you know what? You have to walk in his shoes the last year and a half. He's been so beaten up, Walker, unmercifully by almost all of these media who are in this room, and he hasn't developed all the fruits of the spirit yet.
Right.
Sanctification under development.
Yeah, exactly. So he's going to come back with that tough New Yorker in your face attitude.
Yeah. Well, here's the problem. He doesn't mind tough questions. It's the way these reporters frame the questions. Mm-hmm. They don't go three words into a sentence without framing it in a negative light.
Yes.
Right.
It's kind of the complex question, Walker. Like, when did you stop beating your wife?
Right.
You know, that kind of question. Yeah, wait a minute.
They don't ask him objective questions about his policies and how he's going to enact them and his response to certain criticisms. He's basically on defense before they even get done asking the question.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's
right. And he plays it very well.
Oh, he does.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. What's coming up on your show Saturday?
Well, Frank? I'm thinking about talking about more of the curse of fake knowledge. We talked about it last time. It's kind of like fake news. The problem isn't not knowing something. Quite often the problem is thinking you know something that really ain't so. In other words, you got some false beliefs in there. So we're going to hit that again this week. And we may even hit this issue of, I know you guys have talked about it before, this issue of Baronelle Stutzman and the First Amendment and the fact that the Washington Supreme Court said, well, look, she 9-0 can't refuse to actually lend her artistic talents to promote a same-sex ceremony. Now, that is a complete violation of the First Amendment for them to force her to do that, but that's what they've done.
You know, as someone pointed, so tell us when your show airs and where and so forth.
It is Saturday morning, 10 Eastern, 9 Central, right here on the American Family Radio Network. Breaking news. Frank Turek's cross-examined show continues Saturday.
You know what, man, when I pitch it to you to promote, you do well on your show there.
Breaking news, Turek again promotes his own show.
we want people to tune in to the show Saturday morning. You know what was funny is I was reading, somebody said the other day, they were saying, talking about Baronelle Stutzman, the florist in Washington, who is a Christian and her convictions wouldn't allow her to participate in a homosexual, quote, wedding, and that's what she got taken to court for in the state of Washington. Somebody pointed out that you have these dress designers refusing to make Mrs. Trump's
Ivanka Trump's
Melania Trump, the first lady's dress. Remember that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They wouldn't make her dress because of their personal conviction.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, well, why don't they force them to make the dress for her if they want to do the same principle they're using for Christians?
Just
say that you can't discriminate against a immigrant who speaks five different languages and was a model.
And says the Lord's Prayer.
Says the Lord's Prayer.
And doesn't need your clothes because she looks great already.
Right. But I mean, it's the principle is that, somebody doesn't want it. They say, I don't want to do the dress for the First Lady. Well, nobody says you must do it or you're going to be driven out of business.
Well, look, gentlemen, I got one thing to say.
Yeah.
Stop laughing because Christians aren't supposed to have fun.
All right? Yeah.
So knock it off right now. It's time
Thank
to
you for
down.
Knock off the levity.
Yeah, knock it off right now. This is supposed to be a serious show.
Thank you for reminding
me. Breaking news, Christians laugh.
All right. See you, Frank.
Thanks, guys. See you.
All right. He had about 6 breaking news right there in 10 minutes.
Yeah, I tell you what.
Huh?
He's competing with Fox News
News, right.
All right. Sandy Rios will be with us in a few minutes as well, and we'll talk to her about get her thoughts on what's happening with the latest with the administration and the new executive order that's likely to be released this week.
On the next Today's Issues, we'll talk with Autumn Lindsay, responding to an article in Teen Vogue magazine.
The point of the article was to make the situation seem as lighthearted and nonchalant as possible in order to convince girls my age that abortion is no big deal. when we need to clarify one thing first. Abortion is a big deal, a very big deal.
That's next time on Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
The first cries of a newborn baby signal the miracle of life. There are some who believe that life actually begins at that point, that whatever is in the womb is just tissue and could possibly even be an accident. But the Bible shows something quite different. In Psalm 139, it says, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Life begins in the womb at the point of conception, and the Bible makes it clear that it's not just tissue, and there are no accidents with God. Life is a precious gift that's meant to be treasured, not destroyed. In fact, life is so valued by God that He sent His Son Jesus to be the sacrifice for sin so we could have life with Him for eternity. If life is that important to God, shouldn't we do all we can to protect it? For your help in defending the sanctity of human life, thank you. From AFR.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next. Liberty University's in the business of training champions for Christ, the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 500 programs of study, along with an online degree program designed for thousands of active duty and military veterans. Beyond the classroom, students meet together weekly for worship and to hear from some of the nation's leading experts in the arts, politics, and business. Liberty University, committed to academic excellence with a Christian worldview. There's a pretty good chance Connor Cox will never forget to take out the trash. Connor's a freshman at Westminster College in Pennsylvania. The other day, he received two care packages from his mom. One contained all sorts of tasty treats, but the other was filled with garbage. Connor picked up the phone and called home, wanting to know why his mom mailed him a box of trash. She told her son with a chuckle that it was the trash he had forgotten to take out the last time he was home. Turns out Mrs. Cox is a bit of a prankster. ABC News reports mother and son shared a good laugh. Then Connor shared a picture of the garbage on Twitter, and it went viral, as these things are apt to do. Connor says he's got the best mom in the whole world. And I suspect the next time he's home, Connor will remember to take out that trash and hug his mom, too. I'm Todd Stearns.
Brian Fisher here. I've got a new term for the fake news media. I'll share it and explain it. The man who made Milo Yiannopoulos an international star is at President Trump's elbow every day. Should we be concerned? And finally, a politician who gets it on immigration, you'll never believe who it is. On Focal Point today at 105 Central.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, you can check us out on our Today's Issues Facebook page. We live stream there, the show. You can also get the app for American Family Radio. The app is available for your smartphone or your other mobile device, like your tablet or your iPad. And you can download the app for American Family Radio in 60 seconds or less. And then you can listen to AFR on your mobile device or your smartphone anywhere in the world, as long as you have high-speed internet. So take advantage of that. We have thousands of people who do listen to us daily on the app. The app is free, by the way, there for your phone or your iPad or similar device. I'm Tim Wildman with Fred Jackson, Fred's news director for American Family News and OneNewsNow.com. He's in studio. Joining us from Dallas to co-host is our good friend, Dr. Ray Pritchard. Are you done traveling for a while? Do you got more Bible conferences coming up?
Well, in just about 3 weeks, heading down to Florida to speak at a Bible conference down there. But the major travel is done until a little bit later in the spring.
Now, tell our listeners your website and what's available there.
It's keepbelieving.com. The name of the ministry is Keep Believing Ministry. So just look at keepbelieving.com. We're a repository of sermons, Bible studies, questions and answers, podcasts, videos, all to help people understand the Bible better, to help people believe in Jesus, and then find the strength and courage every day to keep believing in Him.
Amen. If you want to enhance your personal spiritual growth, go to Ray's website, keepbelieving.com, and it's just volumes and volumes of good stuff there that you want to take advantage of, and it's free there on his website. And so take advantage of that. Ray's been teaching the Bible, what, 30 years now?
Well, more like about 45 now. And so
45, you're getting on up there.
Yes, sir, I am. I'm older than you are, which means I'm older than dirt. I mean, I am really old. I'm 64 years old, so.
Wait a minute. Hold the bus.
Fred's
the bus. I'm bumping up against that, so.
You're all coming in my direction.
y'all are heading into your Social Security years here.
You got that right.
There you go. Huh? I need a cruise in the Caribbean.
There you go.
I don't think you can get that with Social Security, Adam, no. But anyway. Joining us now to talk with us for the next few minutes is Sandy Rios. Sandy is with Sandy Rios in the Morning Radio program here on American Family Radio. She's also a Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Radio Network, our liaison, if you will, to many congressmen and senators in Washington and policymakers as we try to do our part to make a difference in the federal government. And Sandy joins us. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, Tim and Ray and Fred.
And Walker.
Hey, Sandy.
Hey, Walker.
We're all
Walker.
Here.
Yeah, I sing bass, and Fred's soprano over here. I'm not too astute with music because I can't even tell you what else is after that. Those two. Sandy, I want to ask you about, do you think the new executive order by President Trump having to do with the travel pause, if you will, on these seven countries will be issued today? And what do you think it's going to look like any different than what it looked like last time?
Well, you know, I think it likely will come out today. I actually thought it might have come out already this morning, but the difference, as far as I can understand it, Tim, is that some of the green card holders and visa holders that the left made such ado about in the judge's order in Washington State will be modified. And beyond that, I'm not quite sure the particulars, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I tell you one thing I did learn this morning is that a lot of provisions, many of the provisions on the first order that no one's talked about have actually gone into effect. Some really good provisions, like extreme vetting, that's what, you know, President Trump calls it. Lots of things have gone into effect already. And so I don't know what this new order is going to say, but it'll just make things even better. And of course, the Department of Homeland Security is now going to be hiring 10,000 more Border Patrol. I think it's 10.
Yes.
And 5,000 more customs and border officials. So it's things really in this arena, there's no question that President Donald Trump is making good on his promises. Mm-hmm.
Talking to Sandy Rios. Let me ask you this, related to that. President Trump, I mean, the left, they're going to, I think, go to court, federal court, just like they did last time, whatever this executive order says, because they, the left, in my view, they're opposed to any kind of restrictions, any kind of pause on immigration to America, especially with refugees. So they don't want any. They don't want the president. They don't want President Trump putting any pause on this. So I think they're going to go to court. They're going to argue the same thing they did last time. They're going to say, you know, this is unnecessary. It's an anti-Muslim ban, which goes against our principles. And I think you're going to have the same kind of arguments. Now, maybe this time the president will have a better lawyer than we had last time defending this. The poor gentleman he sounded like he didn't know what he was doing very much. He was a Clinton appointee lawyer at the Department of Justice. This is prior to Attorney General Sessions being confirmed, remember. So, but maybe We'll see what happens. But don't you think the left's going to make the same arguments they did last time?
Well, they will. You bet. They'll say it's unconstitutional. They'll come up with the same thing that's absolutely fantasy, really, fantasy opinions on this, things that do not comport with reality.
Right.
Because we all know, people that are following this know that the President of the United States has both statutory and constitutional authority to control who comes in and out of this country if it's a matter of public safety. So that's not even an issue, and yet they make it an issue. And the problem is we have so much corruption within our judicial system that judges who make such ridiculous findings, there's nothing to hold them accountable. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I think they'll do it. But I think that, you know, there is apparatus in place now Senator Sessions, Attorney General Sessions in place, other people he's putting in place, that the ship will be tighter now.
Right.
And God willing, it'll be harder for them to be to respond with such a baseless opinion.
Good point. Red?
Yeah, well, like Sandy was saying, there's already elements of the original executive order that are in place. So despite what you may be reading in the media, hearing in the media, Donald Trump is moving forward with regards to protection of our southern border. This is, to use the overword phrase now, huge, and what's going to happen there. You know, this country had to have a Donald Trump as president in order to make these things happen.
Are you making a commentary now? Fred Jackson commentary?
Well, I'm just comparing to past Republican and Democratic presidents who promised certain things and they didn't happen. Amnesty for illegals has gone on for years and years and years. Along comes now President Donald Trump, and he is doing what he promised to do, which, going back to what I said a few moments ago, why hit the polls, Rasmussen, I guess, was the latest poll that came out, that still shows, despite the mainstream media, what they're saying about President Trump, still shows him being popular. The people who elected him, those 60 million plus across the country that gave him those electoral votes, they're happy with what he's doing. They're pleased with what he's doing, and they see the opposition as being part of that far left who just cannot accept that Donald Trump won the election. And he is pushing forward. He's got that bullheaded personality.
Fred, just, and also, you know, Rasmussen, just, what, 4 or 5 days ago, their daily tracking poll among, I think it was likely voters, not just Trump voters, mm-hmm. Donald Trump had a 55% approval rating.
Yes.
Now, you know, Gallup had a poll that showed the opposite, and that's the one even Fox is reporting, oh, Gallup, you know, his approval ratings are tanking. That's what they keep saying. Well, that's just not true. Mm-hmm. That is just not true, unless Rasmussen is off rails, and I don't think they are. They are reporting that President Trump, his approval rating is on the upward trend. That on the heels of that executive order, 55% of likely voters approve of his performance.
Yeah. Hey, I've got a question about this. The new executive order, the one that's set to come out today or tomorrow, when it comes out, does that then cancel out the earlier executive order and render, you know, we had all the stuff out there in Washington and the circuit court opinion, or court of appeals opinion, does that then render all that moot? Does one executive order cancel out another then?
Well, I think we had that comment from our own Abe Hamilton last week. There were 40-some other challenges, legal challenges being made. And so this new executive order, so the experts say, the legal experts say, would be canceling out all of those 40-plus other challenges. Mm-hmm. Because now you cannot base the decision on the original executive order. It doesn't carry out to a new executive order, which looks very different from the first.
Right.
Sandy, any comments on that?
Well, I asked about that this morning in an interview I did. I'm still not clear myself, but I'm sure Fred is right. I'm sure Abe is right about that. I would think that if you simply withdrew that first order, that the courts would individually have to just go in and drop the filings, because they'd be of no relevance.
Sandy, what do you got coming up tomorrow on the show?
I know exactly what I have coming up tomorrow on the show. I have Fred Jackson coming up on the show tomorrow.
Well, you're actually hosting for her?
Yes, I'm hosting. I think Sandy's in transit and busy getting ready for CPAC, I think.
Yes, CPAC is this week, a Conservative Political Action Conference, and we've been booking all kinds of guests. I can tell you that John Bolton is confirmed. Todd Starnes is confirmed. I'm working on Senator Cruz, and I just got tons of people.
Wow.
There'll be some real great interviews on Thursday and Friday, plus President Trump is speaking on Friday morning. We'll be there when he speaks. So that's kind of what has me occupied right now. So Fred has agreed to help me tomorrow.
Okay, Fred, what are you going to talk about on Sandy's show tomorrow?
We're going to talk about all the news of the day.
Okay. Pretty general right now.
Pretty general.
Okay. All right.
We're going to talk about President Trump.
Right.
And immigration.
We'll have breaking news.
Hey, thank you, Sandy. Safe travels, and we look forward to hearing you from CPAC Thursday, Friday.
Okay, thank you so much, Tim. Okay, bye-bye.
Take care, Sandy.
That's Sandy Rios joining us. She will be broadcasting live from CPAC, the Conservative Action Political Committee annual convention in Washington, D.C., Thursday and Friday live, she said. I'm Tim Wildman. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. So, Walker, what have you posted on our Today's Issues Facebook page?
Well, I just posted a Fox News article talking about the upcoming executive order by President Trump that will address the immigration temporary ban, and then also the CNN article by Peter Bergen, talking about the article's titled Trump's Brilliant Choice of General McMaster.
You need to take a picture of that headline because that is so unique from CNN.
We
President Trump's brilliant. Wow.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Ray, what do you, there's, within the Christian community, when it comes to immigration, we are, I don't know if you want to use the word, you have to look at it in two different ways.
Right.
We as Christians, we're supposed to care for people and love people and accept, try to help people anywhere in the world where we come into contact with other human beings. That's to be our approach, thus says Jesus in the Bible. How do you look at what the Bible teaches about interpersonal relationships, and then also what is the role and responsibility of a government or of a country like the U.S., for example, a sovereign country, which is supposed to have law and order, supposed to regulate immigration, supposed to protect us.
Right.
How do we jive those two, if you will, to use a word from the 70s?
Well, that's the heart of the whole debate, isn't it? How do we bring those together? I mean, I know there's some extremists out there who truly are for open borders. We don't really have much to say to them, right? Because if you don't believe in borders and security of your own country, you don't really believe in national sovereignty, and it's even hard to have a discussion. But if we just start by saying a country has a right to define its own boundaries and protect its own citizenship and to decide who comes in and who goes out, that's not just a U.S. issue, right? That's a Guatemala issue. That's a Nigerian issue. Pakistan has that same right. Thailand has that same right. Finland has the same right. I mean, to be a country means you have the right to determine who comes in and who goes out. That's one whole side of the question. And that's what we're trying to work out on the governmental side. I think, Tim, the other point that needs to be made is that as Christians, you and me, and to all of our listeners individually, we are to care for the hurting. We're to pray for the hurting. We're to take the parable of the Good Samaritan seriously. So let's understand, folks, no matter what happens in Washington, we ought to care for the poor. We ought to care for the homeless. We ought to care for the needy. And I don't just mean that in the abstract. I mean down your street, in your neighborhood, and I mean where I live in Dallas and wherever you happen to live personally, that we ought to care for the people around us. So there's a difference between what you and I do as individuals, and there's a difference between what churches do and what the government is to do. So no matter what happens in Washington, no matter how that comes out, we ought to still care for the people around us, because that's what Jesus told us to do. And we ought to pray for our leaders to have good wisdom so we could have safety and stability and know who's coming into our own country. Does that sound about right to you guys?
That no, it does in a general, but the argument that I've heard kind of narrows it down a little bit more. How is the Christian church, how are Christians to respond when they find out a person that may be down their street or whatever the case may be is in the country illegally? Does that change our responsibility? That's the debate that I have heard within the evangelical community.
Well, you know, isn't the answer here context is king, right? Details are king. Not everybody who's in this country illegally is in here in the same way or for the same period. I mean, we all agree that, hey, when you find somebody who's here illegally and they are also a convicted felon, you know, I think you turn them in, right? You do that right there. That's for the safety of your own neighborhood. That needs to be done. What happens to the family down the street who's here and you discover they're here illegally, but they're not otherwise lawbreakers? You get to know them, you pray for them, you share Christ with them, and see then what needs to be done. Mm-hmm. That's at least, that would be my personal answer.
Let me also say this about this whole issue. I'm tired of the burden always being placed on American citizens to do the adjusting and accepting. Mm-hmm. Okay? I'm growing tired of that. And if you don't, then you're the problem, or you're uncaring, or you're unloving. And let me just tell you what I mean by that. The people who have come into America illegally, they did that willfully. All right? They came here. You can say, well, they came here for jobs, better life. You know what? There's probably 1 billion people on planet Earth who want to come to America for jobs and a better life.
Right.
All right? If that's our standard, then we'll just collapse as a country if we let everybody in who have who wants to come here. We can't do that. We have to have law and order.
If you let everybody in, then the borders don't even matter.
Yes, right. And here's where I have compassion for, I'm a human. I have a heart for people who, are here and they want those things that we just, they want to aspire to those things. But here's I resent it when I'm told, because I want law and order, because I want border security, because I want to know, because I want a lawful immigration policy.
Right.
Therefore, I'm heartless, and I'm a racist, and I'm xenophobic. Mm-hmm. So the burden from the media is not on the people who've broken the law to come here.
Right.
There's nobody apologizing. I've never heard any of these groups say, we apologize. We know we broke into the country and we shouldn't have, and now we've got a mess on our hands. No, it's you let these people in. You didn't stop them. So therefore, you need to adjust your country and your life to accommodate them. You see the difference, Ray?
Well,
the attitude?
And there's a huge difference in the attitude there, because we're talking on the one hand about meeting people where they are, right?
Yes.
Because if I meet somebody down the street and they've just moved in, my first question is not going to be, are you here legally or illegally, right? I mean, that's
right.
Not going to be.
Show me your documents before I shake before I shake your hand.
That's
nobody
right.
Does that.
Nobody does that. Nobody's in favor of that, right? And yet, we have to say there are people in America who came here illegally, and they clearly should not be here. They are a trouble, and they've got to be removed. And how that's going to happen, this is going to be a long process. And I'm glad they're going to single out the felons and the people who, those people first. Get
the
bad guys
first.
Build
the wall. You cannot, I don't know anybody that's in favor of, quote, rounding up and and doing all these things. You can't. It's first of all, it's practically impossible.
It's impossible
to do. So you've got to have people self deport, or you've got to have. More importantly to me is you build a security wall, and you send these felons back to Mexico or wherever whatever country they're from, and you're going to have something like what Bill O'Reilly has been talking about. Mm-hmm. You can't. You're going to have something where if you deport people because they've committed crimes, for example, and you send them back to Honduras or Guatemala or Mexico, and they come back into our country again after they've been deported, then you've got to put them in prison for a long time,
right?
Like 5 years, and that's going to cost us money probably. But now I think the fear, if you will, of being caught after you've been deported, if I get caught again, for sure I'm going to prison for 5 years. That will deter a lot of these people. But right now, just a rotating walker, a rotating door with these people. They're deported. They walk right back across because there's no penalty to pay.
Well, and there's also another false narrative floating out there amongst many that if President Trump suspends immigration from seven countries out of hundreds of countries in the world, that somehow we are shutting our doors and being uncompassionate. That's not true. We take in over 1 million immigrants each year into this country. We are the most immigrant-friendly and generous country in the world.
That's right.
And we're not obligated to take that many people in. We do it out of generosity, out of our hearts. And so it's not uncompassionate to not let people from seven countries in out of over 100 countries in the world that we let in every day into our country. So, and a lot of these groups that place Muslims or place immigrants, you know, in certain cities or certain homes and help them transition, they have plenty of work to do. And they don't have to have these seven countries come into our country in the next 6 months.
People from those seven countries.
Right.
Fred, I want to ask you a question because you brought it up. I mean, what are we supposed to do? I don't mean me as a police officer or a ICE officer, but you and me, Fred, and we meet somebody down the street. I don't even know how it would come out in conversation, right?
No.
But what are we supposed to do?
Well, first of all, you don't go to the door and ask, are you in the country legally?
Right.
I mean, it's as you put it.
By the way, my wife told me to give you these cookies.
Yeah, that's right.
Could you show me your papers, please, before I give you these cookies?
I've got DHS on speed dial here. Right. You know, I'm with you, Ray, on this. You know, the reality is you can't round up 11 million people.
More than that. There are
some dear folks who have been here for many years. They've got their kids here. They got their kids in school. And those, I separate those out from the felons that need to be sent back.
Right.
These are people they made a life. Now, I think, you know, as if they're born again Christians, I think they ought to go and say, okay, I've been in this country illegally for a time. And I think that's where immigration shows some compassion. They're not troublemakers. They're hard workers. All right, come on down here. Let's start the paperwork and let's make you legal. But I think there should be an acknowledgement.
You're talking about amnesty now, Fred. Is that what you're in favor of?
I'm talking about it's not amnesty if there's got to be an acknowledgement. Perhaps you have to pay. I'm a green carder.
Right.
I pay $450 every time I get it renewed. Do that to make it right. There has to be a making right process in
well,
there somewhere.
Agreed. Here's the only ultimatum I have for that is you cannot let these people vote.
You
cannot let them vote for a long, long time if you're going to create a, quote, pathway to citizenship, if that's what you're in favor
of. Because
they're
going to vote for amnesty politicians so their family can come over.
Oh, absolutely. It'll be the death of a two-party system in this country. And that's what the Democrats know. That's why the Democrats are for open borders. Mm-hmm. But they won't say it like that. But in essence, they're for open borders because they want to flood our country with illegals. And then what you do is you make them legal, you give them voting rights, and it's the death of the Republican Party as we know it.
Right.
That's the ultimate objective of liberal Democrats. They won't say it exactly like that, but that's what all their actions speak to. We'll be back after the news.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.